Poland, things that come to mind, not a whole lot, no.
Poland, probably not a whole lot. Polish sausages.
No, I don't know anything about that country.
Poland, sausages.
Pierogies.
Is that it? We hope it's not. That's what we're going to try to show you.
Welcome to Polcast.
Hi, this is Małgorzata Bonikowska, and you're listening to episode 98 of Polcast, recorded and produced by me in Toronto. Two more, and we hit 100. Today, I'd like you to meet two celebrities, one human and one animal. My human guest will be introduced right at the beginning of our interview, while the other one is a four-legged World War II hero who carried ammunition and helped soldiers during the famous Battle of Monte Cassino in 1944. One and only Bear, who had no idea he wasn't human, Wojtek the Bear. He was later officially enlisted as a soldier, the rank of private, and subsequently became a corporal. One of our podcast interviewees, who talked about her fascinating life story a while ago, Irene Tomaszewski, wrote this comment on podcast Facebook page. For decades, I've thought if Poles were any other people, they would long ago had a great film about Wojtek, fluffy Wojteks for every kid, Wojtek books, comics, and songs. Well, true. There is no Wojtek's kids culture and no films about him in the cinemas in Poland, but lots of videos and articles, and what is interesting, not only in Poland. This is not the first time we're talking about Wojtek on episode 3 of Polcast 8 years ago. In 2016, we featured Wojtek's story. Now I decided to revisit it and to go back to this furry hero because it was such a long time ago. Plus, there are some new developments, films, people who were involved in them, etc., etc. And it's connected to my absolutely favorite part of the UK, Scotland. Anyway, without further ado, let's get right into it. This interview, which was originally planned to be about Wojtek the Bear, actually turned out to have yet another theme, a Polish love and work for Scotland. It's my great pleasure and real honor to introduce to you my guest, Tomek Borkowy, a renowned Polish actor who has been living in the UK, well, I guess since the beginning of the 1980s, where he has made a big name for himself as an actor, theater producer, theater actor, theater festival organizer, and much, much more. I can say with certainty that there is no Pole in the world who doesn't remember and miss the absolutely most famous TV series called Dom, which means a house. Or a building. I mean, it's hard to say because it was a building more than a house in which he played the main role of Andrzej Talar. I always watched it with great passion together with all my family. And then when I was in Canada, I lost track of Tomek until we began to work together in an international group of activists. And after 4 years of online meetings and seeing each other virtually, we finally met in Warsaw this year. And for me, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. But anyway, we will come back to this. I will ask Tomek, and I hope he will agree to come back to Polcast to talk about his life, which itself, I would say, could be a great material for a movie. But we are going to start with Scotland, because Tomek lives in Scotland, and he is not only lives there, but he is also extremely active in Scottish issues, in anything that has to do with Scotland, right? Can you tell me how long you've been in Scotland?
First of all, thank you for inviting me, Małgosia. It is great, great pleasure. Scotland. Scotland is my home for last 30-something years. And I am married to the Scottish lassie.
Yeah, lassie.
Laura Mackenzie Stewart. Mackenzie and Stuart. You know, it's just, you know, you cannot be more Scottish. And this country fascinates me. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful country with the absolutely amazing people. The Scots are very similar to Poles. Because if they don't like you, oh, they don't like you. But if they like you and they invite you to their community, that they give you the old shirt, like we say in Poland. So from the very beginning, you know, I came to Scotland in 83, 84 for the Edinburgh Festival Fringe with a show which I directed in London for the Cafe Theatre Upstairs, which I spent probably nearly 5 years in this theatre, first as a assistant to stage manager, then stage manager, and 3 months later I was co-director of the company. I came to the festival and I just absolutely fell in love with this idea of this enormous festival. Those days it wasn't so enormous as it is when I left it, but it started to fascinate me. So I worked probably 7 years to come back to Scotland and to the festival, and I used to teach in Academy de Drama School in London. I came back permanently to Scotland probably 2 years later. I decided that I'm so embedded in the festival. I wanted to live in Scotland. When I was involved in the festival was everything in Edinburgh. And I met my wife, who was deputy director of the Fringe. So she ignored me for nearly 2 years. But finally, she decided to marry. So we got married and my life started to change because I was always with international people here, with, you know, less Polish, but a lot of Americans, Canadians, you know, all sorts of people who came here for art and for the festival. But suddenly I started to meet those fantastic Scots. Scots who just opened their arms for me and they said, okay, so you could be Polish, you are crazy enough that we can say that you are Scottish Polish. I became Scottish Polish. And I started to be interested in history. And the history, I just realized that the history of Scotland is so connected with Polish history. And my wife's old history teacher just gave me a book about her family. Her family, for nearly 60 or 80 years, they were in Poland. And when they came back at the just the beginning of the First World War, she said, you know, my granny couldn't speak English. She was speaking Polish only. So, and the culture was a mixture of Polish and Scottish.
I want to take from your history interest something special that I want to talk to you about today. We did actually mention this in one of our podcast episodes, I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago. But it's quite amazing, and I think a lot of people still don't know it, although that particular character is quite popular. He has a number of monuments and memorials and books written about him and movies and so on and so on. I'm talking about Wojtek. Wojtek, of course, who was a Syrian bear, who was about, I think, 180 centimeters. His height was, so he was pretty big, big boy. He is the only bear in the world that's a war hero. And his story goes to Scotland at some point. So maybe I will ask you, if you don't mind, to tell the story, because you're a great storyteller, and tell us about Wojtek, but just briefly about his life. But then I want to talk about Scottish part of his life, which actually ends sadly, because he died in Edinburgh Zoo?
In 1963, at the age of 21. Oh, but let's talk about 64. It. Yeah, oh, 64? Okay, okay. Let's okay. talk about it.
You know, Wojtek was bought by Polish soldiers, and he grew with Polish soldiers, so he didn't know that, to be honest, that he is a animal. He just thought that he's human.
He was bought at a market as a cub. He was a baby.
As a cub. I mean, 2 weeks old. And then he grew. And then he went with his soldiers to Monte Cassino.
He actually helped to move and carry the crates of ammunition. So that's quite an amazing thing. He was really trained to do all kinds of stuff.
You know, he was extremely intelligent, you know, as a bear. And he looked at the humans and his friends, you know, and they were doing things. And he said, oh, I can do the better. You know, I'm stronger.
And he liked his beer, right, Tomek? He liked his beer and his cigarettes.
And ate cigarettes. And he was naughty. And he was extremely naughty. And when he was really, really naughty and he understood this, so he was saying, I'm sorry, by putting his pose together. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. Anyway, the unit came to... back to United Kingdom, and they were moved to Scotland.
Why Scotland?
The Polish army was over 150,000 men. Plus, it was families, plus everything. So they tried to spread them over the whole United Kingdom. So they sent this unit to Scotland. And in Scotland, Wojtek started to be very famous. Wojtek was taken to parties, dance parties. You know, Wojtek was invited to schools. You know, and suddenly, on those 2 years, the soldiers used him as a like publicity for Polish army. And unfortunately, after the end of the war, the Polish army was dismantled in a sometimes not very nice way by British. And at first, they wanted to shoot him. And the soldiers just stood, you know, said, no bloody way, he is our friend. And then it was thought about taking him into Warsaw Zoo. So soldiers as well said, no, we cannot, because we don't know what is going to be over there, and you know, and the situation in the Warsaw Zoo, which was destroyed. So they decided that he will go to the zoo in Scotland. And you know, Piotr, who brought him up and he looked after him for all most of his life. He was heartbroken and he never seen him again. He just left Edinburgh and went to London doing something, and he never seen him again. In two films about Wojtek, which I was involved in, they changed the ends. And the ends are much, much nicer than it was for Wojtek.
How do the films end?
In the film which I gave my voice to, which is at the moment is going around, and I hope that will come to Canada as well, is a beautiful, beautiful, approximately 50 minutes animation film. Beautifully done, absolutely. And in the end, Peter just decided that he is going to work in a zoo. So he is with his friend. In the other film, which never was yet produced, Peter comes back to Edinburgh and climbs the wall where everybody is completely gobsmacked and afraid that the bear will kill him. And Bear stood up on two and hugs him. And that's how the film ends. So it's just, you know, hopefully we'll make this film.
But Scotland has not forgotten Wojtek the Bear, right? There are two statues of Wojtek.
In Edinburgh is one, and the other one, I don't know where it is.
In Duns, Scotland. D-U-N-S.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's very funny because I was invited for the revealing of the Edinburgh statue. I was leading the parade in my contouche.
Can you explain what a kontusz is to people?
Kontusz is a Polish national dress, which was in, let's say, szlachta, nobility and landowners. And this kontusz was made for me in Poland, in Lublin, in the theater, in the Ludowy theater, when the director was our now senator in Warsaw. Anyway, in 2022, the statue was revealed to the public and is very, very popular. And very often when I go, and I don't live far away from the gardens, and when I go there, there's always flowers on the statue. And as well, the nose of Wojtek is very shiny because everybody tries to touch him. Scotland in Poland is so connected, and Wojtek is just like now is the emblem of Scots in Poland and Polish in Scotland. That's why what we are going to cultivate, and that's why I'm involved in the Scottish-Polish Heritage Trust.
There is a man by the name of James Sutherland. He says, I am a Scottish London-based actor and I played the role of Wojtek in the highly acclaimed Theatre Objective stage production a few years back. The play ran between 2012 and 2025 and performed to sell out audiences in two Edinburgh Festival fringe runs, as well as twice touring to Warsaw and also a tour to Scotland. He talks about an animation film called A Bear Named Wojtek.
Exactly. So, first of all, in 2012, the premiere of this play was in my theater, in Hill Street the Theater. And I helped to organize the first visit to Poland in the English Theater of Poland, which I started with Edward Dargiewicz probably 30 years ago. Now I remember the actor. It was great, great play. And a bear called Wojtek is the animation film which I played probably three or four characters as a voiceover.
The film has also been selected for the Annecy International Animation Film Festival in France, where it's going to be shown in June. And it's competing in the TV films category and more. I mean, there's a lot of things. There are many festivals. Yes.
We were very, very unhappy that it wasn't nominated for Oscar. You know, I don't know how it happened, but I believe that the Polish side, because it was Polish co-production, and the Polish side supposed to try to get it, but they decided for the different film to be nominated.
So James Sutherland played the role or gave his voice to the chairman. And who are you in this film?
I was a major. I was Russian. I was number of Polish voices. The producer said to me, Tomek, how about you do some English voices? So there's a no way. My English is very, very Polish. And my wife says when I try to speak with a Scottish accent, She says, Tomek, the Scottish is very Punjabi.
So this is an example of one of many, many connections between Poland and Scotland. And it's quite amazing that you cultivate it and that you're always interested in it. And then you do things about it, right? You're a speaker at various events. It's quite an involvement on your part.
You know, being an actor and now semi-retired, although I work like Trojan for other things, I just like to be involved, and that's why Maciek Dokurno and myself we created the Scottish Polish Heritage Trust to cultivate those connections between Scotland and Poland. And our aim, I don't know if it will be during my lifetime, we are going to build a Scottish-Polish museum. I believe it's enormous amount of artifacts and stories that we would like to do it. But, you know, I would like to make some documentary films, you know, about Poles in Scotland and Scots in Poland. And hopefully I will go back in front of the camera again, which will be fun.
Yeah. Well, I did want to talk about Wojtek, but obviously we came to this whole bigger issue of Polish-Scottish relations. Is there any story, any one story that stands out for you?
Definitely. First of all, it was Klementyna Sobieska, and it is Klementyna Sobieska. Poland had the uncrowned queen of Scotland and Poland, Klementyna Sobieska, the granddaughter of John III, who was famous for saving Europe from Turks. She is a mother of the last pretendant to the throne of Scotland and England from the Stuart's family, Bonnie Prince Charlie. Now, one of the Scottish historians just find out that he had the very beautiful garment, which was Polish.
Did she speak Polish to her son?
No, I don't think so. But the very interesting story, which one of the Polish consul generals found out, Leszek Wiecie, which was one of our best consuls we had here. He just said, you know what? There's a number of things which I believe, because of Bonnie Prince Charlie, is connected with Poland. First of all, Grambuie.
Drink.
The liquor based on whiskey. And, you know, we found out that Bonnie Prince Charlie, when he came fighting for his throne to Scotland, he had the two Polish courtiers who were medics. And because Charles was very sort of, his health wasn't fantastic, they were making him nalewka, concoction of herbs, honey, whatever they could find, which was the. And that was based on the very, very old Polish liqueur called Krupnik.
Yes, so Drambuie and Krupnik, yes.
And when they came to Scotland, they realized that they don't have a normal grain alcohol, so they found whiskey, and they started to make exactly the same nalewka, liqueur with whiskey, and it was later named as a Drambuie. I mean, those kind of stories are enormous. For example, the Scottish name for building wood is spruce. We found out that the spruce, this wood, was coming from Prussia. And on those big, big trunks of wood, they were in Poland, they were saying, spruce.
So you don't think it comes from the word for the word spruce, which is the name of this evergreen tree, which is called spruce, S P R U C.
Maybe.
But let's keep that spruce. I love the etymology. Yeah, that's better.
Later, everything which was coming from Baltic, you know, like herrings, they were called spruce as well.
Okay. So that would be Zprus, which is from Prussia. From Prussia. Fantastic. I love those stories. So there's not only just like kind of, you know, arduous historical research, but there's also lots of fun in it. Yes?
Definitely. Yeah. You know, it has to be fun. Otherwise, I would be interested. interested.
Tomku, thank you so very much for this. We're going to ask you to come back to us because it has been wonderful to talk to you. And all the best in your Scottish research and all the best in everything you guys do there. I know you and Maciek, who is another person from our group, are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you very much for having me. And I enjoyed talking about Scotland, about Ireland, and about mad things which I've done in my life and I'm still doing.
As I said, we talked about Wojtek in episode 3, and on podcast webpage, mypodcast.com, in the place where you find our current episode 98, you will see some photos, also of Tomek Borkowy in his kontusz, as well as a link to the podcast story that goes together with episode 3, that one that was made, many years ago, 8 years ago. There, you can see videos about Wojtek the bear, as well as many photos. One of them shows the then relatively newly erected statue in Edinburgh. Well, compare it to the one sent by Tomek Borkowy in the story of episode 98. Wojtek's nose is not yet shiny. 20 years of kids touching it makes a difference, clearly. So don't forget to go to mypodcast.com and check out episode 98. But I thought it might be a good idea to answer this question. How did it happen that Wojtek and the soldiers made their way from Iran to Monte Cassino and then Scotland? After the Soviet Union invaded Poland, just 17 days after the Germans, in September 1939, over 300,000 Poles were exiled and transported to the camps in the Soviet Union. The survival rate in the Gulag was 10%. When their then ally Nazi Germany attacked the Soviet Union, breaking their bilateral pact in June 1941, the Soviet Union and the Polish government in exile, which was based in London, re-established Polish-Soviet diplomatic relations. As a result of this, Stalin agreed to release tens of thousands of prisoners of war held in Soviet camps by declaring amnesty. After many, many tribulations, they formed a military force, informally called Anders Army. And this is from the name of the very famous general, Władysław Anders, who had just then been released from the Soviet prison in Moscow. Stalin agreed that this force would be subordinate to the Polish government in exile. Well, Anders' army was transferred to the operational control of the British government as part of the British Middle East Command. And then the unit traveled through Iran, Iraq, and Palestine, where many of its soldiers joined the Polish Second Corps, a part of the Polish armed forces in the West. With the corps, troops from Anders' army fought in the Italian campaign, including the famous Battle of Monte Cassino. When the war ended, the surviving soldiers and Wojtek were transported to the UK, and some of them ended up in Scotland, including Wojtek. You can read about this famous army, its heroism and devotion, in the book by Norman Davies called Trail of Hope. I recommend an excellent review of the book written by the already mentioned Irene Tomaszewski in the online magazine Cosmopolitan Review, which she created. And again, you will find the link on mypodcast.com, episode 98. And finally, I thought you will enjoy a bit more about Wojtek from Scottish people who celebrate his history and the links between Scotland and Poland. Listen to some excerpts from a beautiful video about Wojtek made in 2013 by Polish-Scottish Heritage Project. The link to this video is also available on mypodcast.com.
Wojtek had been picked up as a city in Broombeer, but in what was Persia, now modern-day Iran, they had found a little boy with a bear cub in a sack. Whose mother had been killed by hunters, and they took the bear on to nurture it.
How did the soldiers manage to take Wojtek on the ship?
Those particular Poles took the bear and were on the quayside and waiting to go onto the troop ship when they were told, well, I'm sorry, you can't take your bear because he's an animal and we don't allow animals on the troop ships. So there was a revolt. Somebody had the bright idea of giving them a name and a rank and serial number, and that solved the whole problem.
Wojtek during the Battle of Monte Cassino.
He wasn't trained to carry munitions. He just simply did this because he saw what his fellow soldiers were doing and he was part of the team.
How did the soldiers feel when they learned that Wojtek was to be placed in the Edinburgh Zoo?
I think the big problem at that particular time, they were trying to figure out how their own lives were going to go. But then the conversation at night was always around what was to happen to Wojtek. And there was many arguments about what was to happen to him. And the local vet, amongst others, decided that he should really go to Edinburgh Zoo until a decision could be made. I think Kay once told me, he said it was like putting an arrow through your heart. And he said it was like that because it was the last thing, the last possession. They had nothing left after Wojtek had gone.
And then a little bit about the bronze statue in Edinburgh, unveiled on November the 7th, 2015, in Princess Street Gardens.
We're very proud, I think, of the work that Alan Beattie Heriot has done to actually design this particular sculpture. He's a Scottish sculptor, high quality, and he has interpreted it very, very sensitively. I think the fact that we can have a memorial like this, which is not a war memorial, but a tribute to the humanity of the soldier and this relationship with an animal, is a very, very compelling one. And this is the way in which the statue has been interpreted here.
Altogether, there are 7 statues of Wojtek in Poland and Britain, and he has memorials in the National War Museums of Britain and Canada. The film which Tomek Borkowy gave his voice to, and which we talked about, entitled A Bear Named Wojtek, is a 28-minute animated film made this year. You can see its trailer on our website, mypolcast.com. And at the end, I just want to play you something that Alan Heriot, the Scottish sculptor who designed the Edinburgh statue, said about Wojtek and about this project.
We feel that the sacrifice made by the Polish soldiers during the Second World War was an incredible sacrifice and almost unrecognized, generally speaking, unrecognized. After all, it's a flag that was raised above Monte Cassino. Polish pilots fought at the Battle of Britain. And at the end of the war, the Polish forces were not invited to the Victory Day celebrations in London, which was a sin and disgrace. And perhaps this monument in Scotland will go some way to rectifying that injustice.
Just to remind you, Polcast is not a news podcast. If you're interested in what's written about Poland in English, online articles published in many countries by many media outlets, we post them on Polcast Facebook. Of course, I'm very sorry, but you won't be able to see the links if you're in Canada, thanks to the ongoing conflict between Meta and the Canadian government. And those stories, by the way, can be quite amazing. So visit Polcast Facebook regularly and check them out. Here is one recent example. Did you know that? Poland is famous for many, many things. So it's amber, the unique Wieliczka salt mine, vodka, Copernicus, and also, apparently, as we find out, for trees. And not just the iconic oak called Bartek, which is almost 700 years old, which is in Zagnańsk near Kielce in the Świętokrzyskie Mountains. Since 2011, the public has voted for the European Tree of the Year. This year's winner, 2024, is a Polish tree, not an oak, but a majestic 200-year-old beech. The heart of the garden, as it's called, is growing in the University of Wrocław's Botanical Garden, and it won nearly 40,000 votes, almost 15,000 ahead of the runner-up. It was praised for its unusually shaped and thick trunk. This year's, in fact, is Poland's third consecutive win and the fourth in the 13 years of the Europe-wide contest's history. Previously, the winners were all oaks, for example, a 400-year-old oak tree called Dunin in Białowieża, 2023 Oak Fabricant. On podcast website mypodcast.com under episode 98, you will find this year's winner's photo and a link to the contest information. For a lot of additional information, multimedia for links, please visit our website at mypodcast.com. And while you're there, please share your comments, your reactions, suggest ideas. If you know of any interesting story that we should cover in our podcast, please let us know. Like all other podcasts, Polcast counts and depends on its listeners. What is free for you to listen to is not really free for us to make. So, would you take me out for a coffee or donut once a month or lunch? If you would, but cannot because we are too far apart, please support Polcast instead in our crowdfunding campaign. With the equivalent of that, any amount is highly appreciated. Go to mypodcast.com/support and make a pledge. All that information is available on Polcast website, mypodcast.com. And thank you so much to those who are already helping Polcast. Those podcast listeners who have been with us for years remember unique British songwriter and singer Katie Carr, a British singer who sings about Polish history, featured in episode 4 back in 2016. She released a music video called Wojtek on the 17th of September 2014. That was exactly on the 75th anniversary of the Soviet invasion of Poland. Here is the song, and you can find the link to her video on mypodcast.com, episode 98.
Thousands of miles. I'm back to Poland. I'm thousands of miles, I'm thousands of miles from home.
Have you come to save my day? Have you come to save my day?